Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, which has a caveat. All SpaceX all the time, and certainly in terms of achievements. Bob, a very good evening to you. A new record every day, new record at SpaceX. It's so routine, we hardly make it news. What have they done this time? Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, over the weekend, they launched another 28 Starlink satellites. They have like 5,000 in orbit. They've launched close to 8,000 over time. But what was interesting about this launch was it was the 138th launch of the year for SpaceX. That is a new record for the most successful launches in a single year. By SpaceX, but it's also a record for a private company. That record also brought the U.S. total of launches to match the previous year's total, which was a record. Now, I have to add a caveat, John. As you say, every day is a new record. Since the weekend, SpaceX has launched three more times. So they keep adding to that record, and the U.S. record also rises at the same time. It's amazing. One of the components of this that's really astonishing is that SpaceX this year, its Falcon 9 has now launched just this year more than the entire shuttle fleet did during its something like 40-year lifespan. Say that again. I have to say it again. In 1 year, SpaceX's Falcon 9 has launched more than the shuttle did of four to five ships over 40 years. This just shows you how really spectacular SpaceX's abilities is. And what really comes down to is they're making a profit. They have a standard that's extremely high. They make rockets like airplanes. So they fly like airplanes. So they're reliable and can be reused a lot. And the result is that they can make money. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Bob, this would not be possible it without reusability. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about it. But you see, it goes together. An expendable rocket can't launch this frequently, even if you have the manufacturing capability to produce enough rockets. It can't do it because expendable means the standard is lower. It's not as reliable. So you have to spend more time niggling over minor fixes. This happens routinely with expendable rockets. They have to cancel a launch because some little thing is wrong. They fix it, but they're not fixing it so that the thing can be reused. If you have a standard of reusability, you make your spacecraft solid as a rock so it can fly quickly again, which is the key to this. And so, yes, reusability makes this possible.
Detail, Bob. I'm fascinated by the fact that NASA bypassed reusability. Did they have a study that said it wasn't necessary because...
No, John. They didn't bypass reusability. They were the first to do it. SpaceX, the entire shuttle program was based on the premise that reusability would make launches cheap and affordable. So they never bypassed it. They were totally in favor of it from in the 70s. The problem is they were a government agency, and everything they did was not based on meeting a bottom line. They had a tax budget, which gave them enough money to do whatever they wanted, and they weren't focused on making a profit. So therefore, they weren't interested in reducing costs or improving their initial design. The shuttle was nothing more than Starship at this stage, except SpaceX knows it's a prototype and is updating and revising and improving, while NASA, being a government agency, had no incentive to do that. So it just kept flying the same shuttle over and over again, resulting in two failures over time.
Is there a study?
Because they didn't improve the quality as they went.
Is there a study from NASA that acknowledges these facts and says we could save money, but we're not going to. Did they ever come to terms with their decision?
No, they never did. No, they're a government agency. Now, they never even thought about it beyond we're going to do this shuttle. The original idea was the shuttle was to lower the cost to launch. But once they got their budget, they became a government agency, which means they didn't care whether they really improved the product or really achieved their initial goal. They cared only about the fact that they got their budget. And so nothing got accomplished. That's the bottom line, John. It's the nature of how a government works. They're not interested in improving a better product. They're interested in getting their budget. If they can convince Congress to give them their budget, no matter what they say, they've got the budget. They don't have to really achieve anything. And that's been NASA's track record for half a century. They don't achieve very much. There are some places where it's been very successful, but most of its manned program, especially NASA, is an utter failure.
All right, but I want to press the point. Reusability is the way to make a profit. Congress would have listened to that. Were they ever told that?
No, Congress didn't care about any of that. Congress just wanted to funnel the jobs to their districts. So NASA was providing what it wanted. They got their budget. They created the jobs. And Congress was happy. They had a photo op every once in a while. Oh, look, the shuttle did something. Isn't that nice? But no, Congress wasn't interested in reusability. If it was, it would have pushed much harder. If anything, Congress sabotaged NASA's original idea of reusability by making them build the shuttle in a way that was not completely reusable. And that was Congress's decision. They wouldn't give them the money unless they made the shuttle less reusable. So, nope. You're always coming back. Congress is not the solution. NASA is not the solution. Freedom and private enterprise is the solution. The government should be working as a servant of the people, and the people are the ones who will come up with the ideas.
Japan, an upgraded version of what is an HTV cargo freighter?
All right. So the HTV is the cargo freighter that Japan has been launching to ISS. I think they did it about half dozen times, approximately. Brings cargo up. Just like the Cygnus capsule, the Progress freighter, and Dragon cargo capsules. Japan has now built an upgraded version of this, designed to fly freely after it's done at ISS, carries more cargo, has greater capabilities. They launched it this week, and it's an upgraded version, and it's gonna dock with ISS and provide a lot of cargo, and then it's gonna fly free for a few months to do additional experiments. Japan is trying to market this as a potential capsule for cargo capsule for other stations in the future. We shall see how that plays out. It is a government-made capsule, so I don't think anything can come of it, John.
Bob, what is Griffin? It's a cool name.
Griffin is an unmanned lunar lander being built by the startup company Astrobotic. Astrobotic has already attempted to land on the moon once with a smaller version called Peregrine. You might remember this from about a year and a half ago. It got launched, but it had a fuel leak shortly after it headed towards the moon. And so it didn't have the fuel to land. So they managed to keep it operating till it circled the moon and it was heading back to Earth, but they basically lost it. It didn't succeed. Griffin is a much larger lander they've been building for several years. It was originally going to land the Viper lunar lander that NASA was building. I'm sorry, the lunar rover that NASA was building. Viper's been canceled. Griffin has gone through numerous delays. It was originally supposed to launch in November of 23, carrying Viper. It got delayed till 24 because Astrobotic needed more time. Then it got delayed to 25. Then Viper was canceled, but NASA continued to keep its contract with Astrobotic to build Griffin. They have now delayed Griffin again until the summer of 26. And based on the update at Astrobotic's website, it seems to me that this, considering that it's 3 years behind schedule, they are really not very close to getting ready. The tanks haven't been installed. They have to do ground tests. The spacecraft isn't completely integrated. And yet they were supposed to launch in November of 25. And that's 2 years late. So it's now delayed till next year. It's going to carry a private commercial rover, not Viper. Astrobotic's got a few other commercial payloads that they put on it, including some NASA instruments. It's supposed to land about 100 miles from the South Pole on the moon in the same area that Intuitive Machines lander. Athena crashed, fell over last year. And so we'll see how this plays out, John, but they are behind schedule.
What is iSpace? What is the mission?
iSpace is another lunar lander company. They've tried twice to land on the moon, got close both times, didn't quite make it. They have a lot of funding. They've got contracts with separate lander contracts with NASA, European Space Agency, and Japan's space agency, JAXA. Well, they have signed partnership deals with two other companies. One is Orbit Aid in India. This is a refueling company in India. It's flown one demonstration mission. It's going to provide iSpace's landers with standardized docking ports so they can be refueled, which means they can maybe do interplanetary missions, not just to the moon. They also signed a partnership agreement with Toyota, who's going to provide it technical support as it develops its own large lunar rover. So iSpace, even though it hasn't yet successfully landed on the moon, it has contracts and it's trying to expand its capabilities with partnerships with other companies. They're international. They've got offices in the U.S. and Europe. This company means business. We'll see how it plays out, John.
Luxembourg. Do I remember correctly, Bob, that they were one of the first, if not the first, sovereign state to get involved in space with an investment?
Yes. Luxembourg uses its tax dollars as investment capital. It's not interested in creating programs, boondoggles. It uses its tax dollars to invest and then makes money, which it then sends back to its taxpayers. It's a very smart operation. Well, there's a private startup in Luxembourg called Space Cargo. They have signed a partnership deal with a French startup called Comat to develop Space Cargo's Bento Box orbital platform. This is a small platform that would be launched on something else and returned on something else, but it provides a platform for in-space manufacturing, like a capsule. ComSat is going to provide them some of the engineering and capabilities to do this, like a service module. So it'll increase the Bento Box capabilities. This is that cottage industries that's developing, John, of capsules in orbit for short periods of time to manufacture something that can be returned to Earth and sold. There's a lot of investment capital going into this because there's money to be made. There are products that can't be made on Earth that have great value if they can be manufactured in weightlessness, and that's what's happening.
All right, this is promising. The Canadian government is participating in the building of a spaceport. Where?
All right, so there are two spaceports projects that have been trying to establish themselves in Canada now, one for almost a decade. That is called Maritime Launch Services. They haven't gotten anywhere for a decade, John. They haven't gotten anywhere at all. There's another company, Nordspace, that only came into existence 3 years ago, and it's actually now much closer to getting its first launch off as a spaceport. I've got a map on Behind the Black to show both spaceports' locations in Canada. Well, Maritime Launch Services, despite not having accomplished anything in a decade, has now gotten a $10 million credit line from the Canadian government's Export Development Agency. In other words, this is a $10 million loan to help them so-called build their launch facilities. Well, that's nice. I'm not sure why the Canadian government is supporting this particular spaceport since it hasn't really gotten anything accomplished. But I guess the Canadian government wants to encourage as many competition in as many spaceports as possible. So they're sending money to this organization. I think they've also given money to the other spaceport as well that Nordspace is building. So I guess they just figure they got to treat both equally.
Is Nova Scotia a good place to launch into low Earth orbit? Does it have an advantage over the equator?
These are both coastal launch sites, and they would both provide for polar launches and also high inclination launches, kind of like ISS. The higher latitude you are, though, the harder it is to get into a geosynchronous orbit where you're directly over the equator. Of course, you can be in geosynchronous, but you would be tilted towards the equator, which means you cover a different terrain. It's just a different, you know, these spaceports, every spaceport provides a different capability. And so one isn't better than the other. It's just one is providing different things for different satellite companies.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.